Doug 2.0. We can't handle 1.0, believe me.
They're going to replicate me and replace me. Y'all going to have this guy walking around 20 books in ink, and you're going to be like, he doesn't act quite right. He seems nicer than the other Doug. That's how you'll know. So,
welcome to the Two Authors Podcast, an entertaining chat show hosted by best-selling mystery and thriller authors Douglas Pratt and Nicholas Harvey. In lively, humorous, and informative conversation with distinguished guests who share their thoughts and experience about forging a successful author career.
Welcome to the show, everyone. How are you doing today, Mr. Nick?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, you know who we have today? Today, I didn't wait for you to guess.
You didn't. I'm supposed to say, and who do we? But I know already, so yeah.
We're playing it up for the listeners. So, no, actually, our guest today is Kelsey Stelting, and we're going to talk with her in just a little bit. She's going to be exciting. But before we do that, we actually have a listener question. This question comes from Morgan Walker in Mobile, Alabama, down in the L.A., lower Alabama.
It makes me want to say mobile, but it's not. It's Mobile.
That's the way the GPS refers to it whenever you're like, get on the interstate for Mobile.
Well, because that's the way it's spelled.
I mean, I can't help it. They're down in Alabama. I don't know what to tell you.
So. I want it noted that Doug ripped on a Southern state hit. Not me. It wasn't me this time. It was Doug.
It was. I did live in Alabama for a little bit. My mom and dad live in Alabama. My sister lives in Alabama. So I have a little bit of Alabama connection. So I guess I can kind of jump on. Anyway, our question is, and it's a good question, actually. It's he wants to ask, besides books, so because we like books, he wants to take that out. What are some of your favorite mediums for storytelling or hearing stories or absorbing stories?
Mime.
Mime.
No, it's terrible.
No, it was quick because we don't, listeners are like, oh, yeah, practice. We don't practice this ahead of time. We just kind of wing it. So he pulled that out of his ass. That's nice. Okay.
No, that's not a real answer. I love movies. And TV shows to a certain extent. But I like well-crafted movies, which is a rare animal, in my opinion, these days. There's a lot of we're becoming accustomed to being fed crap. But entertaining crap in many instances.
And it's still entertaining. I mean, I think it just kind of depends on what you do. I mean, there's just to venture off. But like I hear like these people like Martin Scorsese who like rips on these Marvel movies, and it comes across as kind of petty, in my opinion. Like,
you're saying I'm petty?
Not saying you're petty. I mean,
no, you can't, because you'd be comparing me to Martin Scorsese, which would be kind of
that's
cool.
Right. No, that's fine. I mean, I'm just saying it does come across that way. I do think there's some crap out there, but also that's like anything else. I will say I do love movies, but last night I went and saw Les Mis on the theater. At the theater here at the Orpheum here in Memphis. And
you are so hip.
It was
Les Mis. I saw Les Mis last night because that's what they call it.
Are you a musical fan?
No, I hate musicals. Yeah, I have a disdain for musicals. But I have been to some. I fell asleep in Phantom of the Opera. My date was unimpressed. I fell asleep in Phantom of the Opera.
I think music is an interesting way of telling stories. There's some great stories that have been told. I mean, you got rock ballads from the 80s they're definitely giving stories. One of my favorite, of course, like Jimmy Buffett. I mean, all his songs are just a story he puts together to music. I mean, it's a neat artwork. I can't do it. I have the musical ability of a rock.
I think we've discussed that before, that we have the combined musical ability.
It's kind of ironic. So I love music a lot, and yet I'm terrible at it. So
yeah, me too. My stepkids are musically talented. My niece and nephew played instruments, but I apparently channeled all my mother's musical ability because she can make cats cover their ears when she sings. So.
Why? Now, we got to go on to our guest. And let me tell you again, we have Kelsey Stelting, who she is best-selling author of this Curvy Girl Romance series. And welcome to the show, Kelsey. It's so great to have you on today. So how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
I think it's really exciting that you're in your high-tech mobile studio.
Yes, in my car, in my front yard.
It's like, were you evicted? What happened?
I have a sick child. There's someone working on closet doors. It's all the things, all the time.
How old are your children?
Yeah, I have 3 boys, 9, 6, and 4, and the middle one's home today.
I used to go hide in my car when my kids were that age too. So
I was going to say, that is all go all the time.
Oh, boys or something. Yeah. So, yeah. My wife, well, we had 2 boys and one girl, and my girl is the middle child. So she's kind of in between, not really a tomboy or anything, but my wife's always like, yeah, she's like, I love being a mom of boys. And I was like, but she grew up with just girls, like just her and her sister and it was it. So she's like, the first boys we got were ours. And she was like, wow, they're something. They're always getting hurt. Yeah. They're always dirty. They're always running into something.
Well, just think about it, Doug. Would you have liked to have been your own mother? It would have been hell on
earth. I don't think my mother wants to be my own mother.
No, exactly. If they could fire us, they would. All right, Kelsey, tell us a little bit about how you got into writing and how you got your career started.
Well, I've always loved storytelling. I'm the oldest of 4. And so when I was younger, I would direct my siblings to make little plays for our parents and things like that. I'm sure they loved.
I love it.
And then, you know, you grow up and everyone says, like, being a writer is like being in the NBA. Like, it's not a practical career. You won't make any money. So I took a little, like, sidetrack through trying to become a veterinarian and eventually I was like, I'm going to work all the time and this is what I really want to do. And I just knew that I would regret it if I didn't give it my full effort. And so I started writing in 2016 with like a nonfiction book about women from rural Western Kansas and kind of dipped my toes into publishing that way. And then once I knew how to do it, I started writing fiction and I've been at it since then.
Brilliant. So were you still working when you started writing or did you go, okay, I'm going to give this a real go and dive in full time right out of the gate?
Yes. So I was in grad school. I actually was working in a data entry center for accidental death and dismemberment insurance, which was so much fun.
Oh my God.
And you chose romance. I think there's so many great things.
Yeah. That sounds like the pit of despair.
It was. And my cubicle was right next to the cubicle of the people who were answering phones and like handling the claims. And so I was like, I have to get out of here. And so I went to grad school and was writing while I was in grad school. And I was like, I hate grad school. So the goal was to make a full-time income so I could quit grad school. And that didn't happen. And so then I kept writing and I got a job, another job. And then that didn't happen. I was still working and writing. And then the pandemic happened and I was laid off. And I was like, okay, well, it's now or never. And I've been full-time since June of 2020.
Well, and I love how on your website, you basically said, like, you write the curvy girl romances, which are brilliant. And I think that it's kind of great because you said basically you couldn't find books that fit you and you wanted to jump right into that and make it yourself, which is brilliant in my opinion.
I'm sure a lot of people listening were the same way where like you loved reading, you picked up everything from the library. There was always like AR points parties. That's what it was called when I was a kid. If you read a certain amount of books, you can go shopping for like little toys. And if you got 100 points, you could spend a day as a librarian and eat pizza. And I was like always the person doing that. And I went to like a super small school.
They didn't have that in England. Maybe they do now, but they never had that stuff. Oh, see, in
now,
school.
When I was a kid,
you got smacked if you didn't do it.
They had the Book It program with Pizza Hut. And if you read like 100 books, you got a personal pan pizza. And I read like all the time. Like I would go, like you could tell this body was made on personal pan pizzas. And it was because I read like tons. I was reading constantly like that. I think when I was in like 4th grade, they went, we can't give you any more personal pan pizzas. I was like reading.
look at all the books I ate.
No, yes. Yeah. Readers. Yeah. But yeah, my kids were more into the AR. We did all that stuff and it was a little different. I was like, now he's made fun of them because like, hey, we got pizzas. You know, just got like, you know. So anyway, but we back up. You read a lot and you like the AR and so.
I read a lot. I loved it. I went to a super small school. There were 9 kids in my graduating class, which I don't know how that's even possible anymore.
Well, that's like my wife's. Yeah.
You guys can have your reunion at Applebee's and be done.
We did not do our 10-year reunion. Like, if we want to see each other, we'll just see each other.
Y'all can have a chat room that fits everybody in there. Like, you know, just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so we had a super small library, and I think I read every single book in the library. There was no romance other than Lurline McDaniels and Danielle Steele, where everyone died in the end. And there were books.
Yeah.
Danielle Steele. Looked like me. Yes. And I think, like, looking back on that time in my life, I think I really could have benefited from a story that represented me and what I was going through. And so writing that has been one of the best joys of my life.
That's awesome. Do you get a lot of feedback from readers and stuff about the same thing? Like the fact that they can see themselves in your books and stuff like that?
Yes, actually. So even though I write young adult, a lot of my readers are adult women. And the most common feedback I get is, I wish I had these books when I was in high school. Like, it could have changed so much for me.
So when you started publishing and you started these books, as you got more into it, did you find there were comps out there? Did you find there were some other people already writing this sort of thing? It was just hard to find?
Yes. So when I started, I didn't really lean into like the curvy girl angle. It was more relatable characters, like characters who maybe felt out of place in their skin or in their bodies. And I actually went to a conference and I met someone named Adia Ward, who's amazing. And she told me that there was this whole niche called curvy girl romance. And I was like, you're kidding me. This is amazing. So I have her to credit with really like introducing me to it and telling me what it was.
That's great. One thing that amazes me, and often it's at the conferences that you find out, is some of the niche genres that are out there. I mean, if you can dream it up, it's out there. And they dive down into, and I mean, your genre now is really, it's got a sector of the market. It's grown a lot.
I feel like it's become almost like trendy now to write like plus size characters. And so that's been interesting, is going from like 2017 when AD told me about it to having really big names in the romance space writing curvy and plus size characters.
That's one of the things that I really like in something in the last few years I've tried as a white male, tried to overcome, but is to include that, well, just add a lot more inclusivity into my works just to see. And do you, so you're seeing more of that as in the industry? And I guess a follow-up question to that would kind of be like, what do you think as authors we should be doing to push that a little bit more? I mean, not just, you know, curvy girls, but I mean anything, I guess.
I mean, I know there's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions about who should be writing what types of stories. But for me, my goal has always been to create something that feels like it could exist in real life. Real life is full of people with different backgrounds, people with different like diseases and disorders. And so I try and represent those well. And when I do write someone who's like outside of my experience, I try to find sensitivity readers. So sometimes I'll pay people that I find online, and other times I'll have readers. I usually post in my readers group and say, hey, does anyone have experience with this? Would you be willing to read this and make sure that I'm representing it appropriately? And oftentimes I'll have several readers reach out and be like, yes. And they'll go through it with me and be like, this is spot on. This is spot on. There's no way this guy would say this. And it's kind of fun. Like, it's a learning opportunity for me too.
Do you do more than one? You don't just rely on like one person's opinion, or do you like grab like a couple of them that are in that genre? Because usually you find that one is always very outspoken and usually wrong. So if you get 3 or 4, then I feel a little bit better about.
So I have a question for you. You touched on it. So you write teen and young adult, but you said your market is quite an older age group, expands into an older age group. That's got to be tricky for marketing. Do you find you segment your marketing and apply different ads to the younger group, different ads to the older, or does it work across the board?
It's hard with paid ads because you don't get targeting options for young adults or anyone under 18. So I kind of honestly just hope that I can spread the word enough that moms will share it with daughters or nieces or friends, and that kind of spreads to teens that way. And then I'm also on TikTok, and I know that I find some teens there. I still find a lot of adults everywhere because they're the ones with the buying power, right?
And has TikTok been a big game changer for you?
I mean, define game changer.
Does it work? Does it sell books for you?
Yes. I've recently started doing TikTok shop, which is an adventure. But back in like 2021, it was a lot more powerful, I feel, than it is now. But it's still a huge part of my marketing strategy because I can create videos there and use them on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and everywhere else.
I'm scared of TikTok. I don't think the people who read my books are really on TikTok, so it's okay.
It goes back, I think, more to he just doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to see his face on TV. That's what it is. That's why he's like, no. He's got that cool, like, sexy English voice. I think people would want to listen to him, don't you? Yeah, I mean,
Do the voiceover.
I'd just say something inappropriate.
That's what Twitter's for. You go there, or X, whatever that is.
No, I won't go on there either. So quite honestly, I had a look at TikTok and I tried doing some stuff for about a week, and it's a lot of work. So for me, I felt like I couldn't get bang for the buck. But for other authors in other genres, especially the younger audience that you're appealing to, I mean, one in 1,000 read my books or Doug's books that are probably under 21 years old. And for me, it would probably be because they're a diver or interested in diving. But you're marketing to that younger audience, and you're right. Facebook ads, you can't target under 18. So it's the perfect medium, really.
Right. And I think the really cool thing about TikTok is that somehow the algorithm is so advanced that they find your people. So even though you're saying like, well, I don't have as many people on there, I guarantee that TikTok will find the segment of people that are interested. I know this too from posting on all of the different platforms. I could post the same video on TikTok and Instagram. And on TikTok, I'll have people saying, I want to read this. This sounds amazing. So cool. Where can I find it? And on Instagram, it'll be like, you're fat. This didn't happen.
Yeah, Instagram's hateful, isn't it?
Oh my God, aren't people lovely?
Yes, but it's crazy the way when your message reaches the right people, how different your response is.
Maybe I shouldn't have given up after 3 days then.
Maybe.
You do kind of have to have a little perseverance to kind of get some of that marketing done. Like it's like the dealing with the Facebook ads or the Amazon ads or any of them really is that there's such a learning curve on all of them. So when you're focusing your marketing, besides like TikTok, do you look at, it's hard to target ads on Amazon, especially, but I guess other than targeting other young adult romances, but I mean, what do you use for that kind of advertising?
Right now I've had a lot of luck with Facebook. And that's thanks in large part to a consultant that I'm working with. His name's Cameron Snow, and he's been helping with my setting up my store so that customers can buy directly from me. And so I defer to him on a lot of this stuff.
That's right. And your store looks great, by the way, too. So
it does. Yeah, your website and store look really good. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes so people can go over and take a look. And you have some merch over there and what have you, yeah?
Yes, we use Printful, which is so great because it's print on demand, so they can order stickers and I don't have to keep them in my house. And
those three boys would sticker those little cupcakes all over the place, wouldn't they?
So. Yeah, yeah.
They're always so fun, the keychains and the books and everything.
With boys, I have a different question kind of off, and I wouldn't think about this, but as we're talking about this, like, your oldest is 9, so not very far from middle school, really, is he? Like, at some point, like, his friends might be reading your books, and I wonder how that was going to...
I know. I told my husband maybe we should just change our last name because it's stuck on the books now.
Well, it's something to think about. I don't think my kids are in their 20s, and Nick said most of my demographic of my readers is older. They're not. I have a few that are in their 20s. That's about it. Most of them aren't going to be reading, but I don't think it's certainly not in high school, but kind of an interesting thought. But it might be a good, avenue to see that you're out there for these people who don't know, put your kids in a little cupcake shirt when they go to school.
I have something to ask you. You've trademarked your Curvy Girl or some part of the slogan or the title, right?
Yes, the Curvy Girl Club is trademarked. I really wanted to protect that series name because it's really special to me.
That's a brilliant move. Was that tricky to get it trademarked or just a process?
I think the hardest part was finding a lawyer, honestly. Because you have to find someone who specializes in intellectual property and someone who wants to handle the trademark process. But basically, she had me take pictures of my books to prove that I was using them on more than one product. I think it had to be two at the time. And I sent them in, and then I waited months and months and months to hear back. And then it was done. So it really wasn't too time intensive.
I hear, I was just listening to an interview with someone, and I can't remember their name. She's a podcaster that does a lot of tech stuff, I think, for the news and stuff. But one of the things she was saying was with AI and with the things that are going on now, protecting our IP is incredibly important in our intellectual property, so that when the time comes that they start paying people out for some of this stuff, knowing where it is, copyright is probably a strong suggestion on that part.
For sure. I think it's so hard too as an indie author, because you don't really have someone in your corner telling you this is okay, this isn't okay. Because once I released the Curvy Girl Club, there of course came people who were copying and iterating on it. And I would get readers messaging me and saying, is this your other pen name? This person's copying you. And navigating that has been kind of hard, because you're where do you draw the line between creative inspiration and piggybacking off of someone? So I think that would be nice to have a lawyer in your corner for that kind of thing too.
That's quite the compliment though, that people wanted to copy your books and write more in the series. Doug got cloned on Facebook this morning, and the guy already, he's in Nigeria, we believe, and he's already got more followers than Doug had. So
I was more upset that the guy had more followers than I did on Facebook. I was like, really?
It's just Doug 2.0.
Doug 2.0. We can't handle 1.0, believe me.
They're going to replicate me and replace me. Y'all going to have this guy walking around 20 books in ink, and you're gonna be like, he doesn't act quite right. He seems nicer than the other Doug. That's how you'll know. So let's kind of gear back to one of the things that I like about romance, and I don't read enough romance, I'm sure, but is it's so character driven. And I'm kind of curious, for my, I write action adventure. I have zero character arc. My character is the exact same at the beginning as the end. He just has a broken nose or something like that. So some of your characters, the Curvy Girl Can't Date Bullies, or it seems like you're taking, your love interest or whatever from being what seemed like a pretty bad guy to a good guy. And I'm curious how you take it across that arc and to make it not only just believable, but just kind of resonate with the readers.
I think that's one of my favorite parts about writing young adult, is because there's not another time in your life that you're more open to discovering who you are and to changing and growing and dreaming. So I think the genre really lends itself to that. And that's just something that I personally love, finding out how you can get from one place to the next and make your life better.
Yeah, I think that's kind of great. I think that's a good way to kind of angle it that way. It is interesting to see. Now, do you have an idea? Do you plot or do you pants?
I'm a plancer, if that's a thing.
A plancer.
That is 100% fair. I'm kind of like that too. Sometimes I will start out a book with some plot, and then I just go, that doesn't work, and I veer off, or I don't even look at the outline for a little bit. So that leads to the question, do you have an idea then of what that arc is going to look like in the process, or as you're going along, you're like, oh, I mean, I'm going, oh, he needs to do this to have enlightenment. Or is there a point in the character arc where you know that they're like, oh, I've seen the light?
One of my favorite things to do is to draw on a piece of paper the different arcs of the story. And so of the main characters will have an arc. So like in Curvy Girls Can't Date Bullies, the main character, the woman, the girl, she feels really like forgotten by her parents because she has an older sister with health issues and her younger siblings are twins and they're like budding actresses. And so she starts the story feeling really unseen. And at the end, she wants to feel seen. And then for the male in that story, he starts out really wounded and he like exerts his power through affecting other people at school. And so by the end, I know that he's going to find a way to feel remorse for the things that he's done and genuinely want to set out on a different path. And so there's that arc. And then the romance arc from when they're enemies at the beginning because she stands up to him for bullying another girl in her school. So how do they go from hating each other to her swapping out his clothes for a leotard in the locker room to they fall in love? Like, and then seeing where those points intersect is really fun.
I like that, just that idea of drawing it out and seeing how you could do that. Mine would still just have breaks his nose here, and then it's like
he hit one guy here.
Like, there's no character arc in my. I think there is to some extent. I mean, Nick's got more character arcs, I think, than I do. But
no, but your Chase Gordon has a lot of has a certain amount of depth, especially for a Reacher type tough guy. He's got a heart in there and all that business, and you delve into it in your new series even more so, I think. So Kelsey, a question we like to ask our guests: what do you think your author's superpower is? What's the one thing you think that is a strength above others?
I think my superpower is writing characters that readers can relate to.
That's a great power to have.
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of times you read characters and you enjoy the story and you like it for what it is, but it's something really special when you can identify with them.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think that helps a lot. And you see that in reader groups where people are talking about, you know, what they like out of that. And because I follow the reader groups, you know, just to see kind of what people discuss and talk about, mainly so we can have things to talk about here. So, but it's interesting, like they, you know, what people do like, and it tends to be the whole inclusivity of being able to see themselves in it, in anything. But I've got a different question. We talked just basically when Nick mentioned whether TikTok was a game changer, but can you think of what might have been the game changer that really pushed you over to where you went, okay, when I'm making this as a success? I know you said you were laid off in 2020, but what was it that went, okay, this is working for me? And, you know, what did you do that made it that way?
I would say, for going full time, I think what really helped was writing a series in a world that could build on itself. Because before that, I had written series that were 3 books long and they were fun, but they were almost over too soon. Like, they didn't have time to grow any legs and to like build the entire world. And so writing a long series has been super fun because you can create so much within that.
Plus, I mean, you're onto something with it, right? So your readers are relating to what you're writing, so they want more.
Right, yes. And I'm a big fan of, like, if you find what's working, capitalize on it.
Well, Kelsey, we have one more question for you real quick, and I'm sure that if you listen to Jen and Jillian's, you know about our wheel of questions. So we'll just spin the wheel, and you get a random question that we're going to ask just right off the bat, and we've kind of just changed them up, so hopefully we get some good ones this time, so... And you get the sound effects. The sound effects are the best.
We're easily pleased, you can tell. Our listeners are like, they're doing the wheel.
The wheel. Okay, so if I were a new author coming in any genre, really, what is the number one piece of advice you would give me?
I think my biggest piece of advice would be to become your own biggest cheerleader. There's going to be a lot of times when you doubt yourself and when other people doubt you. And you just have to know that what you're doing is worthwhile and that it matters.
That's very true. I think that's valid. I think that's something that we talked about imposter syndrome before, but we talked about the other thing, that we have a tendency to not feel like what we're doing is who's reading us and that kind of thing. And really, I think you're right. I think sometimes that can be distracting to us if we're not paying attention.
Yeah, and the majority of people and readers and fans and everything are so supportive and nice, but then there's the few, right? Like you were saying, you get these comments and people are so belligerent in their comments through a medium that keeps them very distanced from you. So fending that stuff off mentally and not letting it get to your heart is a tough. So that's superb advice, Kelsey.
Thank you so much, though, for coming along. We've so enjoyed having you on.
Kelsey, thank you so much and best of luck.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Kelsey. What a sweetheart, huh?
She's awesome. That was great.
Coming to us live from her car in front of her house.
She's just like you.
Yeah, she's mobile.
Only she doesn't sleep in her car.
So. Yeah. Yeah, when it comes right down to it, I sleep in my car.
You're homeless, aren't you? So that's
I'm not homeless, man. I'm like a snail.
Your house, like a turtle.
Yeah, I have my house with me.
Yeah, your house with you, so.
Yeah. All right, what's going on in your world, Doug Pratt?
Well, honestly, a book just came out back in the beginning of March. Writing another one, trying to just blow it out, doing podcasting. I'm super happy because it's spring and it's starting to warm up, so I can go outside and do some things. It's been kind of nice. I enjoy that. That winter just depresses me. So,
how many books are you going to write this year? You're on a more aggressive writing plan, right?
So honestly, I've been doing, you know, our buddy Drew Strickland has written some great stuff, and he and I have been doing a little sprinting together, which has been blowing my output. Like I've been doing like 4,000 or 5,000 words a day. So I don't know. I'm kind of hoping to finish the second Coursera book in March, but I don't have my scheduled releases aren't that, I don't have that many already scheduled. I'm going to do the next Chase series at the end of the year. I'm going to do at least two, the one I'm working on now, and then one more Coursera series. So I'll have three of those out this year. We'll have Missing in Zanzibar. And then I've got a couple of little projects I'd like to do because they've been rattling around my brain, but they don't have a set series to go with them. So I kind of need to get them out. So I may try
standalone.
So
you're going standalone?
I have one standalone idea that I want to play with. The psychological thriller that I thought would be kind of fun to write, but it's been like rattling around in my head for a little bit, and I kind of need to get it out or else it'll interfere with something else. If I get all that done and I write Chase early, I'll probably release him early and then maybe do squeeze another one in, or maybe something around Christmas. But been writing pretty fast, which has been kind of nice. And after listening to Steve and Higgs last week or last episode where he's doing 10,000 words a day, I'm kind of feel like I'm behind, so.
Yeah, but like we said before, is each their own, right? You got to play your strengths.
No, never compare yourself to others, because that's the beautiful thing of it. But finding a good rhythm to you know, you and I joke about the rabbit holes, and kind of working with Drew's helped me kind of keep out of the rabbit holes during the day. Like we'll just
instead of chatting with me and diving down the rabbit holes.
Yeah, we'll do like 20 minutes, and then we'll chat for like 5 minutes, and then we do 20 minutes, and he's on mountain time, so he's a little behind me anyway, and so usually by the time he gets up and going, I've already done all the crappy stuff I don't like doing. Not talking to you. I love talking to you. That's not never.
No, you already said it. I get it.
never part of that. So although he's finishing his book this week, so he may not be wanting to keep doing that. So he just needs some help.
Yeah, your friend can't come out to play anymore.
He can't come and play anymore. I have to play by myself. So
you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Well,
what about you, sir? What are you working on?
So I had to switch gears from the AJ book that came out in January, which I finished writing back in December. So that was a while back. Then I wrote another project, which I hope I can talk about in a month or two.
Dinosaur erotica? Is
that yeah, on? My dinosaur erotica special, standalone. Yeah, novella epic.
Epic novella.
Box set.
In three parts.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, so then I had to switch gears and start writing Nora, which is, I love writing Nora, but it is a, you know, you do have to switch gears and get in that mentality, especially because I write first person. So, so that's been fun. And then, let's see. Oh, Cheryl and I went to a concert the other week. Do you remember the Motels?
Yes. Yeah.
80s band, actually started in the 70s. Really good. We saw them, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, out here in California. They play at a place called the Coach House, which is a little hole in the wall, place where surprisingly good bands, play, where they used to, and occasionally still do. But it's a fun little place, crappy acoustics for a concert hall, low ceiling, but it's really intimate, small, right? So,
like they were in the 80s and 90s anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Crappy,
yeah.
Like
we see some really good people there. And anyway, the Motels came around again. So we're like, hey, you know, we'll go see them. And she's getting on a bit, is Martha, who's the, and I was a fan back in the 80s in England when no one had heard of them. And I heard about them on a radio station that used to play some American stuff and bits and pieces. And they were amazing. I mean, when you look at her, she's aged, right? She's not a young lady anymore. And
who of us is?
Yeah, so. Exactly. I'm definitely not a young lady anymore. So, but her voice was amazing, and it was a great show. So really cool. Yeah, it's fun.
I bet out there, because how far are you from L.A.?
We're like 50 miles from L.A., so, you know, about 3 hours in traffic. 3 hours
in traffic. As I say, I bet there's a lot of great shows and stuff that Ashley and I've been talking about, like, it'd be nice to go to LA and just stay for a little bit because there's so much stuff to do that, you know, just, you know, restaurants. And
we went up to the Kia Forum, which is, you know, by the airport. And that, you know, take us 45 minutes to an hour to get to. We allowed more, but we that's where we saw Stevie Nicks and we saw the Eagles in January. Both were
that's absolutely the, yeah, rocking phenomenal. At these concerts. Yeah. Stevie was great. That was a good show.
So, yeah, but they have, the Kia Forum has a lot of bands there.
I think we should get Stevie on the show.
Yeah, I think.
So, Stevie, if you're listening, we would love to have you on the show.
Just if you want to come
on. Drop us a note. We will squeeze you in there.
Yeah, we'll find a spot. All right. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Check out the show notes. We have links to our guest information, their books, social media, all that stuff. Look for new episodes every 2 weeks.
Yeah. And until next time.
Be cool to each other.
Fair winds and falling seas.
You've been listening to the Two Authors podcast with Nicholas Harvey and Douglas Pratt. Subscribe on your favorite platform for alerts on new shows coming every 2 weeks.